Have a Cast, Habitat Pinellas and West Pasco's new show, highlighting our homeowners, our staff, and our mission, and the partners that help make it happen. My name is Morgan Brochetti. I'm your co-host, and I'm here with Mike Sutton. Hi, Mike. How are you?
How are you, Morgan?
I'm good.
Good, good. I'm excited for today.
Me too.
I was just looking at some of these newsletters from Mr. Norm Bungart.
Yeah.
He's been involved with us for 36 years, pretty much since Habitat started.
Right.
And so it's crazy. So there's one newsletter from 1997. It says we've completed 57 homes. We're about to dedicate our 700.
So right around the corner.
It's pretty amazing to see where the organizations come from.
Mm-hmm.
So look at that logo. It's grown. The logo's grown a lot as well. So, Norm is one of those that really helped to kind of set the tone and pave a path for
mm-hmm.
the growth of Habitat, right?
Right.
So, you know, going from a place where they were building a house every year to slowly doing, you know, two a year,
right.
or three a year. And then it's really allowed us to really kind of take off over the last, you know,
mm-hmm.
7-8 years and be able to get to a place now where we're building 60 houses a year,
yeah.
65 this year. So.
And 36 years of involvement, that is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get a book ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not even that age yet. So,
yeah.
But no, it's really exciting. I love hearing Norm's stories, and I just like hearing about the past of
mm-hmm.
the organization and how it's grown, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
it's pretty neat.
And for him to stay involved after all this time is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
see all that growth is so cool. So he'll definitely be at our 700th home. That's coming up right around the corner, August 30th.
Yeah. Norm's become kind of a fixture
mm-hmm.
at our milestone dedication.
Yep.
So at least back to, let's see, I had him at the 400, 500, 600, and 700th. I asked him to do the invocations.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he kind of brings that historical component to,
right.
to the table. So it's always neat to have him.
Yeah.
I always give him a time limit because he's a talker. He's a talk. We could do like 15 parts of
like
this
a
today.
Series, literally today.
Well, and he's got so many stories
yeah.
about Habitat. So look forward to talking to him here in a few minutes.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Before we jump into that, a little bit of a highlight for the Restore. So it's August. Back to school time is right around the corner. We are having two different kind of campaigns running in the Restores. We're looking for donated items for, think about college kids and their dorms and wanting to furnish their dorms. So small appliances, desks. Bookshelves, things like that. But also, if you have kids and they're heading back to school, have them come into the Restore. We have two great locations with all kinds of new inventory.
Yeah.
That's going to have a little bit of a discount for your new dorm style, but also help get back to Habitat, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we have the Clearwater location, which is on the corner of 49th and Olmerton in Clearwater.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Palm Harbor store, which is located on US 19, south of Tampa Road, north of Curlew.
Mm-hmm.
Both stores have just amazing product.
Mm-hmm.
And our third store is still slated to reopen in late October, early
yep.
November. So we are moving our new Port Richey location out to US 19, and we're pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have three Restores in our service area.
Yeah, it'd be pretty awesome.
Awesome. Well, let's bring Norm in. Let's talk to him a little bit and hear how he got connected to Habitat.
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Norm, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to you a little bit. You've been involved with Habitat since 1985.
It's a pleasure to be here, and yeah, I have, and it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it. It's very fulfilling. The word I use is fulfilling.
Fulfilling. What brought you to Habitat back in the
80s? The initial thing with Habitat in 85, I read about a little snippet that Habitat for Humanity, it was in the St. Petersburg Times, or the Independent at that time,
okay.
mm-hmm.
so,
yeah.
That they were going to hold a dedication ceremony. No, that was after that. I have to get before that. That was the first dedication I was about to say.
Okay.
I had read about Habitat,
mm-hmm.
and what made the connection with me was that in South Georgia, of course, America was where it was started.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a civil rights person from the 50s, so I mean, I really
Ooh.
Go back a long time.
Yeah.
And actually, the very first connection was civil rights,
okay.
Because it was South Georgia, and of course, prior to America's, there was that was the Clarence Jordan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clarence Jordan. I read about him in that I went to a Baptist church, and that's where the original connection was.
Yeah.
And then I got kind of interested in it, and I went to a couple of, they actually had started with their board meetings, and I went, and they invited me, and I went, and then the first dedication is very memorable.
So a lot of people think that Millard and Linda Fuller were the founders of Habitat, but they're actually the co-founders, because Clarence Jordan was actually a co-founder as well.
Absolutely.
Right? So, yeah. And
they found it in a chicken coop. They started it in a chicken coop.
Really?
Yeah.
That's where the conversation started?
As well as, yes, and you look over, you know, I've got some of Clarence Jordan's old books.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I thought about it. It's, anyway, it was in South Georgia where he had his church, and it was a church that was very open to all people, primarily blacks and whites together, and that was where there was a chicken coop that Millard and Linda had been, actually, I think by that time, he had, of course, he had graduated from Auburn, got his law degree, and became millionaire, and also he and Linda decided they wanted to give their entire life and all of their savings to a ministry. They went to Africa. They came back, and they hooked up with Clarence Jordan, because Millard was from America's, and the
Kiawana Farms.
Pardon me.
Wasn't it Kiawana Farms? Kiawana.
Koinonia.
That's what it was. There you go.
Koinonia.
Got to get that brain going, right?
I get some pecans from that area, and so that's where they and he Millard heard about. Well, of course, he had known the history. There was some pretty well-known history of some of the challenges that the church had because of racial strife.
Strife.
And so he went to the church and met Clarence. And the story was that they actually had a conversation, because Clarence had built a couple of houses for people. And Clarence and Miller had just returned from Africa. Said, "Well, guys, let's talk about building houses here. That's so important." And that's where it started, in a chicken coop.
That's funny.
I love that
that
story.
That is funny. Now, you've met Miller Fuller.
I've met him several times, and I've got several letters from Miller.
Okay.
He was quite a dynamo, as you all know from the history, too.
Pretty tall guy.
He was slow, he towered over me. Mutton chow. I went on the to America's several times. The first time was well before I retired. I took my vacation time and spent a week up there because I wanted to learn more about it. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do after I retired.
Gotcha.
And I thought this was a kind of a good connection. I was I enjoyed it. And so I spent a week there and met him.
Yeah.
And then later on went back again with, took one of the local habitaters, Bruce Kelly, was a real house builder here and overseas too.
Okay.
And he was, his church was Pasadena Community Church as well. And so it was about the time that I retired, I said to Bruce, because we had been to some Habitat house buildings and dedications. And I said, "I'm going to go to America. You want to go?" We both went up. I drove, and we spent 1 week there. And he met Millard.
Okay.
And he met me, and we had a great conversation. And that's where it kind of all was cemented, that both for Bruce and myself. And Bruce has since passed away. But I knew him and his wife very well, too.
Yeah.
And so Millard, once he makes a connection, once he made a connection with somebody, as long as they kept in touch with him, He literally would write letters to them. He would talk about recording letters for a secretary when he was traveling. Mm-hmm. And I got several letters signed by him.
Wow.
And he personalized them.
This is
something unknown, of course, today with the size it would be.
Sure.
But he, there are so many stories, I can't remember any specific stories from Millard, except the chicken coop.
That's funny.
And he, you know, I have a couple other stories about Millard over the years, staying connected, and I decided to kind of start sharing the Habitat story with churches and so forth early on. So I asked Millard for some ideas. And he said, well, the first, one of the first talks he gave about Habitat, once it had been established, I think in 76, does that sound right?
1976, yeah.
And he went to a Rotary Club.
Okay.
And he told this story that I've used several times. He said he gave his spiel, which is a standard spiel, which hasn't changed a whole lot about it. Here's how Habitat works, and it's still doing the same kind of good work, great work, that it was doing then. And he told the story at the Rotary Club in South Georgia. And a man in the back, when it came time for questions, said, let me get this straight, Mr. Fuller. You're going to build houses, and you're not going to charge any interest. And you're not going to make any profit? He said, that's right. And you're going to do this with volunteers? He said, that's right. He said, man, you're crazy. And Millard said, you're right, I'm crazy. But you know, with God, everything is possible.
That's true.
And
that's true.
We're going to eradicate substandard housing.
Yeah.
And of course, they thought he was crazy again, too.
Yep.
But, and then later, he kind of repeated a lot of that when Clinton gave him the Medal of Honor.
Yeah, sure.
I saw that on television. Man, he's still
doing it. Still doing it,
Yeah, he was a dynamo. He kind of ruffled some feathers occasionally.
Sure, sure.
But that's kind of the nature of leadership. You're not going to please everybody all the time.
Well, my understanding, when he met President Carter, before President Carter became involved with Habitat, he kind of ruffled his feathers a little bit and was pretty direct about his lack of affordable housing policies when he was president. And wrote about it a few times in the local newspaper. And then my understanding is President Carter sat down with Millard and they hammered out their differences and they realized there were a lot more similarities.
Yeah.
And then President Carter becomes our most famous volunteer.
Oh,
so,
it's
pretty amazing.
That sounds like typical Millard.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to stray from the message.
Yeah.
And it's about God. And don't forget about the faith-based part.
Sure.
I gotta remind people that once in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, Carter was... and you've all met Carter, and I went to see his Sunday school, Maranatha Baptist Church.
Yep.
And that's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've got a video of that actual...
Of the service?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. You know, what's really interesting about that church is they have less than 30 members. Their membership is so small, but Plains is such a small town.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But their attendance at church each week is 400, 500, 600 people because everyone comes to see President Carter.
Right. Right?
Yeah, they filled the church this day, and we had 6 or 7 local people that we went up and stayed overnight.
Yeah.
And it was literally filled, and I sat right behind Rosalind. I said, well, I better be a good... because they had to check out before they went in. And so... but the way he did it, there was a lady there but there was a lady there who kind of was running the Sunday school, and she kept everything really, she had a tight ship.
Mm-hmm.
She had to, because
she lays out all the rules for you.
Oh, yeah.
Of what you can and can't do.
Absolutely, yeah.
How he will greet everyone when he comes out. And, and she kind of reminds me of like a person who does the warm-up for a live crowd for a TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a hilarious woman.
She was tough cookie. She said, now, well, I want you to make sure that you follow all these rules, and when you go back out after it's over, don't shake their hands.
Yeah.
You can get a picture, but don't. If you try to shake their hands, they're going to punch you out.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
And the rule was, and then this was, you know, she had some rules Yeah. And then Carter had some
rules. Yeah, yeah.
And his rules were very strict, too. He said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go, and he would start, like, here's the audience, and he's in front. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to start over here and go just to the back, front to the back, and tell us what state you're from.
Yeah.
He said, now, when somebody says that they're from Georgia, don't repeat that. Like, yeah. If you're in this row over here, don't say Georgia.
Yeah.
And if they did that, they got a big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
He said, no, I need you to.
He had rules.
So he went through all of that, and then he gave us his history that he's been teaching Sunday school since he was at the Naval Academy in 72, I believe. And today he was going to talk about Ecclesiastes. And there's a time for all things. And he tied it in. There's a time for building houses and providing shelter. It was just a great, I mean, we were all fired up.
So the first time I saw him, he was probably 92, 93, speaking at church. Uh-huh. And I was so impressed that he was 92 years old, doing Bible study with no notes.
No notes at all.
And he led the entire thing. And I was just blown away by that. Yeah. I mean, he's so still with it, right? Even at now 96 years old, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
He's still, his mind is still strong, it's still there.
Yeah, so yeah. I went to the Carter Center, maybe you
remember. Yeah, of course.
And he's still involved with that. And of course, they send me notices once in a while, send us some money. And I said, well, yes, we will. Well, he's got so many ministries.
Yeah.
But of course, Habitat is the one that the focus on. And they have, of course, it brought the great PI throughout the world, and that always there was one other thing when I mentioned earlier that my original motive was actually for civil rights, and it wasn't just for house building. It was civil rights and the African Americans and the whites and Clarence Jordan, that connection. And my point at this intersection is that Carter was very candid about the fact that he and Rosalind went to a different Baptist church originally, and they did not want to change or get with the program in terms of becoming, you know. So I won't dwell on that, but he was candid. He had no problem at all saying they were wrong, and that's why I went to the Maranatha Baptist Church.
Yeah, the original church was right down the street.
Literally right down the street.
And I think their group broke off and ended up going to Maranatha.
So there's so many good stories about both Millard and Jimmy. But I came to Habitat, and I said, you know, My mantra is, what's not to love about Habitat? And I met a lady at that, not the first, but the second dedication, an African-American lady, Dorothy Gilliam, you know that name.
Yeah.
Well, I just, a couple years ago, went to her 100th birthday.
Wow.
And she was a strong Christian. She was the... can't think of the word. She took care of all the social stuff for her. She became on the board.
Yeah.
She was one of the original board members, too, with me. And she took care of, at those dedications, food was a big thing.
Sure.
A big thing. Because there were a lot of church people involved. Yeah. And I know there still are, too. But that was a major focus. So food, and she took care of the food. And the first dedication that I remember was they had barbecue. And it was in the Midtown section of St. Petersburg, which is largely African-American. And there was a man there who, an African-American man who was on 16th Street, had a restaurant, a barbecue restaurant.
Okay.
And he provided the barbecue free. And he got up and told us why he provided the barbecue, because he loved Habitat, and that was a great connection. He said, I want you to remember my name, too. I'm Fat Willie from Philly, and I came down here and started my barbecue restaurant, so come on out and see.
That was funny. Fat Willie.
There's a million stories.
Yeah, I'm sure. So now here we are 36 years later, right, from when you got involved with Habitat. So tell us about these. I don't know if Morgan knows this, but tell us a little bit about these tours that you will do around St. Pete.
You know, I'm retired, and I've been retired a long time. And I love to talk, as you might imagine, and I love Habitat. And it was, gosh, it was in the early 90s that I first got the idea from another board member who actually engaged a church to get a bus, and he and the board invited some luminaries. I don't know, I forget now, they were primarily like council persons,
sure,
and church people, mm-hmm, to get on the bus and ride around, yeah, in Midtown and see what the houses had been built.
Yeah.
I said, why can't I do that? And so I did. And so I did, and I have done several Habitat, yeah, Midtown tours.
Okay.
And people said, Norm, what's that? I said, well, it's basically, I want to show you like the history of Habitat, but mm-hmm, also how connected it is to Midtown.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And all of the history that y'all know well, and most of your viewers will know well, that it is primarily African American. Is the term is underserved, mm-hmm, sometimes, and the politicians try to make amends for the history of all that too. But I show them the different houses. I show them the first house. I said, yep, we're going to start, yep, with the very first house.
Sure.
And I tell them about Jane Dunaway. And Jane, how, and I tell a couple stories, and one I'm going to repeat right here. And I didn't get any approval for what I'm going to say. But
it's okay. Okay. We'll bleep it out if, yes, it's bad.
Jane today is still in that same house. I, yep, often say that. And she's been doing, and she's been a spokesperson for Habitat, mm-hmm, like at our annual dinners and so forth. And but one time when I served as president two terms, and then I was on the board forever. But one time she came to me when I was president, she said, Norm. And she had been in, she got her house, I think it was either 86 or
86, I believe.
And so she got her house, and that first house was $25,000. And she came to us and said, you know, Mom, I had people come to me, they want to buy my house. I said, well, that's nice. And yeah, I kind of wanted to know where she was going. Well, she was thinking about selling her Habitat house.
Yeah.
I said, well, first of all, there was a rule then, I don't know what it is today, you can't sell your house in the first 5 years, and, mm-hmm, or it has to come back to Habitat.
Sure.
And but I said, but think about this. How much do you pay a month? And she told me, yeah, the figure for that 25, I think it was probably 30 years.
Yep.
The 25,000, it was pretty,
probably, yeah.
Of course, she worked at a low-income job, but it all fit together, mm-hmm, absolutely. She, cool, had all the requirements. And I said, but think about, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Right.
Are you going to rent again? My goodness, this is your house.
Yep.
And I did kind of the Dutch uncle thing to her, because I am older than everybody, so I can do that. And I said, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? This is yours.
Yeah.
And actually, so she stayed, of course, yes, and she has, I believe, two children, a son, yep, and a daughter. I said, where are you going to take? This is for them, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is when you retire, too.
Yeah.
So we did all that. And then later on, and I think I've got a newsletter I'm going to leave with you, that we actually had the very first mortgage burning ceremony.
Okay.
When,
oh,
she, wow, had paid her, and she came to me. I'm really glad,
yes,
I didn't, yeah, sell my house.
Of course.
I'm, yeah, glad for you too. Yeah. Now, the other part of that story, though, is, you know, there's all these connections. We did not air condition her house. In the early years, we did not air condition because Millard Fuller says, I live in South Georgia and I don't have air conditioning in my house. And he put it kind of an edict.
Yeah.
It wasn't an edict because most Habitat affiliates are pretty much autonomous,
yeah,
I think it's still. So it wasn't, but we kind of wanted to pay attention to Miller because, yeah, he was. So we didn't air condition. It was a few years later, after several board members, after several, we met monthly, the board, mm-hmm, meetings, and they said, every time we got a new board member, what? You don't air condition? Scratch my head. Why is that? And we told them the Miller story. And so it would always come up for a decision. Well, we're going to start. And so we always started. And but here's how it started. We had another, and this was when I was president. We had another discussion at the board meeting. We had the people, it was a divided board. Mm-hmm. No, this is still basic housing and air conditioning, yada, yada, yada. And Miller says, no, again. And we went back and forth. I said, look, wait, stop. We have discussed this on many board meetings, and it's great. We have two very great positions, but I think it's time. It's time for what? It's time for us to vote up and down.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
We voted yes, we're going to start air conditioning.
I'm glad we did.
Oh my gosh.
And we also retrofitted, as you probably know.
Yeah.
And so Jane got her air conditioning.
That's
finally.
Awesome. Yeah. So. Well, you know, Habitat Pinellas was one of the very first Habitat affiliates to start putting garages on the homes, because Miller took the stance that we built homes for people, not for vehicles, right?
That
but that was Miller, right? Yeah, he was very much, you know, simple, decent, affordable housing, and I think simple, decent can mean different things to everybody.
Right.
And so that's something that, as we've grown, we've had to have a lot of conversations around, like, what does that mean? And nowadays, the families have to have storage. And so if we didn't do garages, we would have to provide them with a shed or what have you. And so our board a number of years ago kind of really pushed the envelope there and had to get special permission from Habitat International. Now it's a standard across most Habitat affiliates that they do a garage. So
that sounds like Miller. That must be something to, I remember him saying, you know, this is simple, decent, simple. But the other thing it triggered, here's what, you know, every Habitat discussion triggers about four or five things. Here's what it triggered with me. There's a house on Fifth Avenue, south. That's a Habitat house.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Cheesham, JMC, built this house.
Okay.
The lady who got the house said there's one thing that she wanted, and we didn't do it. And I don't know, but I suspect it was kind of the same reason that Miller does not fit with what the simple housing means. She wanted a porch. We put a porch in, and that was the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because this is about neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah.
And you stand on your porch, and, hi, neighbor, come on over for a glass of iced tea.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
And
so
and it wasn't that much more expensive. But Mike Cheesham, he loved it, man.
Yeah.
He's a great supporter of it.
Yeah, they've done a lot for us.
Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned the porches, because now a lot of the homes we do specifically in St. Petersburg have very large porches as per zoning and permitting requirements.
Yeah.
But it does just that. It provides a venue for you to get neighborly, which is something you don't see a lot of anymore, right? So
Habitat is about being good neighbors.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and there is that. And especially in midtown neighborhoods where there's some serious challenges, sometimes crime and so forth.
Yeah.
But this helps in terms of community. I know that's what you talk about a lot.
Yeah.
But this is about Habitat. Yeah. It's about building community and just building homes, building families, building community.
Yeah.
And so
So Norm, if you let's talk about this. If you back up and look over the last 36 years of your involvement, almost 700 homes, right?
Yeah.
What's your most proud, like, what are you most proud of when it comes to Habitat for Humanity?
You caught me. There's so many moments.
Yeah.
Right.
I was honored and proud to meet Miller.
Yeah.
And to know him, and to be I've got several letters from him.
Yeah.
I met Jonathan Reckford at the 300,000th house down
in Naples.
Yeah. And I met him. I've got a picture with him. That's a proud moment.
Yeah.
Because he came in at a time that There were some challenges mm-hmm. in the, within the organization. You mm-hmm. such explosive growth mm-hmm. produced a lot of questions, a lot of dissent from people that yeah. wanted to keep the faith base, and others say, right. well, we're more corporate, and you yeah. go back and forth. You know that better than I. Yeah. But his leadership is, wow, it's yeah, just, a, well, yeah. you know, I always use the word exponential. The growth has been exponential.
For sure.
Right.
And that's all about leadership. And that's the same thing locally. I'm going to embarrass you now. We did a lot, and we left, yeah. we're proud of that.
Sure.
And I know that you say good things about standing on the shoulders of the people
yeah,
before.
For sure.
But it's now 700,000, and I keep scratching my head. How have they done it? Well, that's leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's leadership.
Well,
but gosh, there's so many, the meeting so many wonderful people.
Yeah.
And Millard sticking to his guns that this is about God.
Yeah.
And I went to several of his training sessions,
mm-hmm.
and there would be those in the audience. Well, yes, I'm a Christian now, but we shouldn't emphasize that too much. And they yeah. would do the hand wringing thing.
Yeah.
And he said, no, don't back away from that ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because what I have seen and what I have witnessed with this mm-hmm. particular affiliate mm-hmm. and else. HWP, I'll get that straight, I hope, is you can do corporate and Christ together.
You can, yeah.
There is no, well, you know, you don't exclude anybody, mm-hmm. you know, and you have supporters who are Jewish, probably yeah. all other faiths, and yeah, sometimes faith people get into good discussions about how their faith is and so forth.
Sure.
But this is about, it's about simple, decent housing.
Mm-hmm.
I often use this term, because I'm on the board of Daystar too. I say, you know, here's what I think in terms of faith. There is enough resources on the planet mm-hmm. to feed, clothe, and house everybody.
Everyone.
And it's about a question of distribution.
Yeah.
So everybody, send your check in.
I like it. I like yeah. the plug. I like the plug.
Yeah, you know, yeah. you know, we have the opportunities that are with Habitat
right.
to help out in so many ways. And people say, well, what can I do? I say, well, first of all, there's something for everybody. If you
sure.
want a hammer or nail or whatever, mm-hmm. there's something all different kind of... but you can pray, and that everybody can
yeah.
pray for it.
Yeah.
But also, everybody can send. It doesn't make any difference if it's a small or a big check.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to say it's too much of a difference. But what you can, God's. It's all God's money. That's what I wanted to remember. That Millard used that term one time in yeah. a training session. I never forgot. And he was asked to quit. Here was the context.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was in it, probably another Rotary Club, I don't know. He said, well, how are you going to get the funds to build all these houses for everybody? He said, no, not everybody, for those who need it,
sure.
who meet the criteria, yada, yada. He said, and that's when he dropped the bomb. It's all God's money anyway. And when I first heard that,
it's like, how do you argue that?
Yeah.
Well, let me put it in more concrete terms. I'm in my mid-80s, and I have to think about my estate.
Yeah.
And we've had a discussion or two
sure.
about that. And when you say it's all God's money, God provides us with funds to do good things.
Yeah.
Take care of ourselves, take care of families, take care of others, take care of Habitat.
There you go. I like it.
We always love asking our guests what home means to them. So home is where?
There are so many things. The home is where family is. And of course, that makes the connection. Sometimes people say, well, do you build for senior citizens that don't have a family now? I say, well, Habitat primarily is looking to build to have the greatest impact, and that is play with children. And so, moving to decent, affordable housing and improving the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
Is probably the biggest thing of all. And knowing how Habitat now, and for the last several years, has built quality houses that the cost to pay for utilities, primarily electric, is a lot lower because of the R factor and all that. Mm-hmm. It's just so many connections. But it's about family. It's about neighborhood, improving neighborhoods. And it's all about God, who's in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm. Like it. Norm, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Norm.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm so glad Norm came in today and got to kind of give his habitat story. I had no idea how many times he had met Millard and had all that involvement. I mean, it's pretty amazing to kind of see him still involved with us.
The thing that blows me away about Norm is here's a gentleman in his mid-80s. I wish I had that energy now.
I know.
Like,
he's
got so much energy, and, you know, obviously we focus around habitat today, but he's involved with a ton of organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, Daystar is a big one. He's involved with Guardian Ad Litem.
Yep.
Very active. Mm-hmm. Takes on many cases through them. So, and then, you know, he's constantly out in the community, going to different churches. Different organizations, learning about what they do.
Right.
He actually, I've seen him do this when he meets people out in the community. He gets their business card, and he actually does like an email blast every few days. And he's, you know, if you're on his email, you hear all about things that he's doing.
He's an original influencer.
He really is. He really is.
That's awesome.
It's pretty neat because he'll, you know, again, he'll send out stuff about, oh, I ran into so-and-so yesterday. I've known them for 30 years.
Yeah.
And just hearing the ways that he, you know, kind of connects in the community.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
He's a connector and an influencer. And we're fortunate to have his support and continued involvement with Habitat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's still rocking it in his mid-80s, so he's still going strong.
We're happy to have him.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, coming up, looking at the next couple weeks, we've talked about our 700th home. Yeah. That's a big one. We obviously have our 11th annual golf tournament is right around the corner as well.
November.
That's in November.
Yeah.
So we've got some really great things coming up, as well as dedications, of course. So you can always head to the website at habitatpovp.org and check out the calendar. We have all kinds of dedications coming up. Some third-party events, too, that should be really fun. So there's so many ways you can get involved. You know, volunteers are back on the build site. Mm-hmm. You can shop the resource. You can subscribe to Norm's emails and get on that list. There's so many great ways to get involved.
Well, and I, you know, really want to encourage everyone to attend our 700th dedication.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up on August 30th, 9 a.m. Monday morning in Pinellas Park.
Yeah.
All the details can be found on our website, as Morgan mentioned. But there's no better way to see the Habitat mission. Really, 36 years of progress to get to house number 700.
Right.
So if you can't join us in person, you will be able to watch it online,
mm-hmm.
On our Facebook page and on our YouTube page. So really exciting times here at Habitat. We want to thank everyone for their continued support of our mission. And go on our website and look for ways to get involved. So there's plenty of ways. You can shop the ReStore, you can refer families to our program, you can volunteer, donate, and you can also advocate our mission out in the community by telling your lawmakers how important affordable homeownership mm-hmm. is. So, Morgan, it's always a pleasure.
Right back at you. Another great episode 18.
It's in the books. So, and we want to thank Norm for joining us today. Norm Bungard, just the unofficial historian of Habitat for Humanity. So, thank you all. We'll see you at the next Habitcast.